Blog Talk Radio.
Call me a child of God. I am so excited on this wonderful Monday evening, one we've never seen and one we'll never see again, but praise God, we are in it. And so I'm grateful, grateful, grateful that not only am I excited that this is a wonderful Monday and that I have an opportunity to minister God's word, that I get to share a couple memories because it's Memorial Day. And so for those of you that, praise God, have picnicked or had family gatherings or whatever you do on holidays, have done that and you're with family and friends, Let us also remember those that we have loved and lost. Let us make sure that we share memories of those people that made an impact in our lives, whether we tell it to other family members, to friends, write it down. Just talk to yourself even about, and just to make sure you remember how much of an impact they may have made in your in place in your life. For the original intent for Memorial Day, of course, was for us to celebrate those that have sacrificed their lives through our military services, and that we want to make sure that we honor them and all the services that they rendered to make sure that we live under the bread or the blanket, as some say, of freedom, that those that serve for us provide for us to be able to live comfortably and not live haphazardly as some of the people do in other third world countries where the military is not as strong or effective or efficient. And so, praise God, we have a wonderful military system, and we have quite a few people that have gone through that system, and some have lost their lives through that system. And because of that, we wanted to make sure as a country that we set aside a day that we celebrate these people. And so it kind of blossomed into anyone that we have lost and have served, not necessarily in the military, but just served on this planet in some way to provide love, to provide encouragement, to provide teaching lessons, whatever they may have inspired in your life. Let's take a moment to think of them and to thank God for them, that they were part of our lives, that they crossed our path at some point during this journey. And so we want to make sure that we think about them. We never want them to be forgotten. And so that's why we make sure that we tell our family members so that they can remember. Maybe they've never really had an experience to remember like you do, but share that experience so they can be alive for them as well. So that's why we take the time, and that's why I celebrate holidays, because some point, somewhere, someone decided that this was important enough to make sure that the world stops and it recognizes whether they participate or not. At least it's something that those of us that want to participate can participate. And so this particular day, before I go into my lesson, I want to make sure that I thank those of you that tune in. And if this is your very first time, our goal is to always be encouraging, to be educational at some point, maybe not a brand new topic, but definitely one that will encourage you to explore a little bit more, and then to take that information and make the necessary changes so that you could be empowered to make the changes as God sees fit and encourages you to do, and then not keep it, but to share it with someone else. And so again, empowered to change, our goal is to encourage, to educate, and to empower. And I'm so grateful that God has given me a platform to do that. So if this is your very first time tuning in, welcome, welcome. I believe I have a little squirrel with me, and so if she's listening, I'm sending a major shout out to you, pretty girl, and you know who you are. And so I'm so happy that you are friends with my daughter, and that I pray that you guys' friendship will continue to grow and blossom. So I give a special shout out to you. Now, though, for those of you that have been with me, can you believe we're moving into, 10 years we've been in this train. And some of you have been here listening from the beginning, and some of you have joined this train 2 weeks ago or a week ago. Amen. Nevertheless, if you're back again, I acknowledge you as my listening crew. Praise God. And so I'm thankful that you tuned in again to listen again. And so I'm grateful for all of you that keep me encouraged, keep me focused and motivated to study. And then, praise God, to be empowered to make the necessary changes that I need to make, because, praise God, I have not arrived either. But you keep me focused and you keep me encouraged. And so I thank you that I can be empowered and then be encouraged enough to empower you. And so I'm grateful for all of you that do that each week. And those of you that don't know, I have to call out Jesse and Tammy Store and the Omega Ministry Group, because without them, I wouldn't have known about this platform. And so I'm grateful for this platform. I'm grateful that they have given me an opportunity to share what God has laid on my heart to share. And I can do that each week freely without hesitation, because they know and they believe in me, because they have been the examples that are necessary and needed on this journey to do what God has called us all to do. And that is to teach his word and to share the gospel and keep all those encouraged and motivated to do his will. So amen. So now I've acknowledged everyone. Before we go into our lesson, I wanted to make sure that we all know that we start the broadcast with an upbeat tone. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And when he says no, nobody can say yes. But nevertheless, I'm excited on the lesson for tonight. And so before we go into our lesson, we want to make sure that we always give God honor because he gets the highest praise. Amen. And so we go to him in prayer before we start our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to wake up this morning and have your gracious, gracious gift of life. We thank you, Father, that you didn't stop with just giving us life, but you allowed us to have movement in our bones and in our joints. You allowed us to see. You allowed us to do the things that you called us to do on today, whether we were with family or whether we were with by ourselves, Father. We thank you, Father, that you were with us. Because you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And so we thank you for all the things, Father, that we can take advantage of because of your care, because of your love, because of your grace. We thank you, Father, for those that have gone on, Father, that you graced us with the opportunity to be able to feel their love and for us to share our love with them. We thank you, Father, for those that we may still not be in union with, that you will give us an opportunity because we're still here to make sure that we have made pardons and made apologize or whatever we need to do to be reconciled with the people, Father, on this planet, so that when they leave or when we leave, Father, we can all know that we've done our best to make sure that they know that we love them, that we care for them, and that how much we appreciate for what they've done to care for us and love on us. So again, Father, we recognize that you are the vine and that we're just branches. And as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear much fruit because without you, we can absolutely positively do nothing. So we thank you, Father, again, for long life. And thank you, Father, for allowing us to have life. And most importantly, Father, we thank you for allowing us to know that we can have an eternal life with you. So guide us, lead us, and keep us in your care and keep us guided in the right direction so that we can always be in your will and in your way. So that when we do close our eyes for the last time, when we open our eyes, we will see you, and you will say good and faithful servant. So again, Father, we just thank you, thank you, thank you for so many blessings, and thank you for all the things you will do, the things that you're doing, and the things that are that you've done in the past for us to make sure that we know that you are God and you are God alone. Again, Father, we love you, we honor, we adore you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And I didn't say, I thank the Lord for guiding my lips and my heart. And so I thank you for that, Lord, too, because I don't want to do anything of myself. I want to make sure that I'm always in the will of the Father. But if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me. Amen. I'm hoping you call me a child of God. But I am so excited on tonight to be able to share this particular lesson on tonight. One, because those of you that know me know that I speak from a spirit of transparency, and I don't have any problem sharing anything because, amen, I believe that's what God's assignment has called me to do. And so sometimes I know my sisters kind of and my daughter get kind of tired of me because I call their names out, but amen, these are my experiences. And so praise God, sometimes they're part of it. Most times they are part of it. And so they get dragged in. I don't shame them or make them feel bad. At least I don't try to. That's not my intent. But I know that because somebody was authentic and was transparent with me is how I became delivered and set free. And so that is my goal, to help you become delivered and set free. And you can't do that by not telling the truth. And so sometimes I can be too transparent, and it gives people a platform to believe that they can correct me. And so many times I listen because, praise God, my aunt has taught me well, and she told me that we should always listen. Because you never know, the information that you're receiving can be helpful. You may not feel like you can take it at the time, but you store it because you never know when you'll need it and it'll come back. But nevertheless, it is always interesting to me how comfortable we have become as a society to be in each other's business. And as my sister often says, I don't like folks in my business. Amen. Well, we both grew up in the same environment, same home, same parents. And it's interesting how sometimes our views, or your part, our views are totally different, where she don't like nobody in her business, and I want folks in my business, because I guess I've learned by listening that I don't want to repeat the same mistakes that other people make. And so I don't shun when people interfere. Although here lately it's been a little interesting because sometimes people can become too self-righteous, and we're going to talk about that. But I love when people give me correct, because I want corrective criticism. I do, because I want to be right. And so when you want to be right and your heart is clean, it doesn't shake you when people say things that are not true, because you know who you are.
But many times we're not confident in who we are. And so when we're not confident in who we are, when people say things that are against what we believe, it causes our emotions to awaken. So you have to learn how to know who you are in the things of God, fearfully and wonderfully made and made in his image. And sometimes we read the Bible and we don't really believe what we're reading. And I'm grateful for the teachers that God has placed in my path over the years to really help me understand if you're going to read that word, you need to believe it. If you're going to stand on that word, you got to believe it. You got to walk in it and you got to understand it to be for you because it's personal. This walk for all of us is personal. It's a personal walk because God gave you an assignment and he expects you to complete that assignment. And if you don't take that seriously, then amen, you will fall for every wind and every doctrine that comes to play because you don't know it for yourself. And so my encouragement to you today is to make sure that you pay attention because you can get caught up. You can really get caught up. And so if I had to give this particular lesson a topic, it would be beings, specs and beans. And I said specs and beans, and I really should have labeled it a clean heart because that's where we're going. But I wanted to start off beans and specs. A teacher that I had a couple years ago, or many years ago, I should say, she told me, she's like, well, you know, your titles matter. You know, and when you give a title, you know, people want to be drawn into the title. And so, anyway, God has given me a gift to be able to have insight on putting words together and being able to summarize different things that I read. But nevertheless, I started out with being specs and beans because they are important because sometimes we get caught up. Always we can see the faults and we can see the errors in other people's ways and somehow we don't see our own. And so I've always been curious, how is it that people can say something and then do the same thing, just different people, different scenarios, but same thing. And they don't see that. But they can tell you your whole life story and summarize you, and they haven't spent more than an hour's time with you ever. And so when we have challenges, I have so many wonderful guests and they texting me and telling me they have some challenges. But nevertheless, okay, so when people approach you with challenges that you need to overcome and you know that they haven't overcome those challenges, sometimes it's kind of hard to receive what they're saying. And so I want all of us by the end of the lesson on tonight is for us to really examine ourselves. My sister did a newsletter many, many years ago, and she talked about how why it's important for us to do self-examination and why it's important for us to do that on a consistent basis because you know yourself better than anybody. And so when, like I said in the beginning, when you know who you are, I know who I am. And so when people say that I'm an angry person or that, you know, I'm angry with everybody and I'm angry at God, I mean, I can hear them say that, but I know that's not true because I know that's not me. They are taking a situation and making that what they believe, but I know that's not me. And so my uncle used to tell me all the time, and I love my uncle because, praise God, he's been dropping nuggets my whole life. And little does he know, well, he probably knows some of them, but most of them I really stored in the back on my Rolodex, and I remember them. And I remember them because I saw his pain. I saw the things that he's gone through to allow me to know, no, I don't want to do that. And so I'm going to listen. I mean, it doesn't apply to me today, but I'm listening because he said, baby, this life is hard, and you make it harder by not paying attention and not listening. And so I do. I listen. I'm grateful that God has given me the gift of listening. And why it was so confirmed when I was trying to figure out what lesson to do today, watch the movie, and that was one of the quotes that a wise man said. He said, fools speak. And fools speak. And people that are, what was the other one? Cowards are silent. So fools speak, cowards are silent, but the wise listen. And so me and my daughter had a conversation a couple weeks ago, and I was explaining to her. She said, no, I'm listening. I said, no, you're not listening. You hear me, but you're not listening. There's a difference. there is a difference. You have to pay attention when you're listening. You're listening to what is being actually said, and then you're processing. How does this apply to me? Is there something that I need to take from this conversation? Is there something I need to do? Is this how, that's how you know that you're effectively listening. But if you just hear somebody talking, you just hear them. So you're not paying attention to what's being said. You're not checking to see, you know, was there some misunderstanding, was there some confusion that you need to clean up? Because you're just hearing them. Listening takes skill, and you got to pay attention. And so I'm grateful that I listen and that I am focused on trying to be a better person just for me, not for other people, for me. And so it's interesting when I go through certain situations, I know that people, because I do minister to quite a few people, a lot of people, and they want to be able to give something back to me. And I receive that wholeheartedly. And so sometimes the things that they say are with good intentions. And so I don't knock it because, amen, I'm wise enough to know that sometimes I need to just be quiet and just receive what is said. And then there are times, again, that God tells me, store that, because you don't need that today, but you may need that down the road, and then I can remember. And there are so many times that I have quoted back to girlfriends and friends and different people and said, this is what you said to me, and they're like, I did? Because I take it to heart when people minister to me, because I want to be right. And so my challenge to each of you is you have to want to be right. You have to desire to want to be right, because it's just not going to happen if you don't want it to change. I can tell you all day long, you know, you need to clean up after yourself. You need to pay attention when people are talking to you. And if you don't understand, you need to repeat it back to make sure you understand. I can say that all day long. But if the person I'm telling it to doesn't want that, it's not going to happen. And so that's why it's so important to us to listen to the things of God. And so when he tells us to speak, we speak those things that we may not understand, but he does. And so sometimes it's meant for us to speak, and sometimes it's meant for us to just be quiet. Now, I said with that little saying, sometimes cowards are silent. That doesn't make you a coward because you're silent. It makes you wise because you're listening to the voice of God, and he's telling you to be quiet. So that doesn't make you a coward. And so sometimes I got that confused because I thought, oh, I need to help everybody because I see them going down the wrong way, and they got to go, they got to turn because they're going into traffic. And the Holy Spirit was like, no, that's not your place. Some people are there to plant the seed. Somebody is there to water it. And of course, God gets the increase. But I learned that there's a lot more to that process because sometimes that ground can be so hard. And so maybe it gets just your turn to help just give them a shovel so they can dig that up so a seed can even be planted. Because not all the time people are ready for the word. They're not ready. I remember a cousin told me one time she's, you know, going through some challenges with her marriage. And she's like, oh, y'all been married. Y'all didn't tell me. Y'all didn't help me. You didn't encourage me, blah, 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 blah. And she went and went and went and went. And when she finished, the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to tell her, would you have listened if we had said anything? And she stopped. And all the people were giving them their advice and, you know, bickering back. But she listened to what I had to say. Why? Because the Lord told me to say that. And so she had to listen. Because many times when we're going through things, people are not, they're not ready. They're not ready. And so sometimes when we're so busy looking at the specks in people's eyes, we don't even see the beans in ours. And so other people can see the bean. You can't see the bean because it's in your eye. Amen. But you know it's there. But other people can see it. And so how can I take words, God-given, supposedly, insight and divine word from you when I know that you're not doing what God called you to do? And so sometimes we get confused when we think that we're empowered to minister to people when God has not called us to minister to those particular people. And so we have to be mindful. Now, my girlfriend has been really, 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 really instrumental in helping me understand why it's important for us to train up our children and that why that doesn't mean when they're little. Train up your child. As long as they're your child, amen, that is your responsibility to train them. And so whether they listen or not, that's on them. But it's your responsibility to give an account to God that you did your part because he gave you those children. So we have to train them. So I don't look, I want my children to listen to me. Amen. But as long as I'm doing what God called me to do and training them and raising them, amen, I'm not going to give an account for that. They will, because I've done my part. And so we have to understand where our part is. And that's why the beams and the specs are so important. How can I, as a parent, I used to tell my child, baby, you need to put some clothes on. You just can't be walking around the house with no clothes on. And I used to get so upset. And then my husband said to me, he's like, well, Leah, before you beat the child, look down. You don't have no pants on. And I had to regroup, because how do I expect her to do something that I'm not doing? And so I had to be mindful that not just for my children, that's in life in general, that we can't be looking for faulting people at all times when we're not willing to see the fault in our own areas of life. And so I often pray, and I'm so grateful that God has blessed me to be able to know how to pray. And so most often when I go before God, I always ask God to allow me to come before him with clean hands and a pure heart. Why is that necessary? That's necessary because, one, we have to have the right posture. When we go to God any kind of way, it's almost like when we go to people. And that's why it's so comical to me why people say they have problems praying. Because if you treat God as a friend, you don't have problems talking to your friends. You shouldn't have a problem talking to him because he is your friend. You talk to him just as if, I mean, you give him his reverence, of course, but he's your friend. And so if you talk to your friend on a regular basis, you need to talk to him on a regular basis. I talk to the Lord often. When I wake up, as I'm, Lord, I can't sleep. What's the problem? What am I supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to think, what I'm supposed to read, what am I supposed to do? That's how, you know, now many of us are taught formally how to talk to God. Our Father, which art in heaven, that's fine when you're being formal. But when you're talking to God, Lord, I need to be right because my life is in shambles. So show me what it is I need to be doing so I can fix it so that I can hear clearer from you. And if you don't hear, Lord, I need to hear from you. I'm tired of all the stuff going on, and I'm not hearing wise, sound doctrine from you. So show me what I need to be doing. And one of them could very well be you're going to him with unclean hands and an impure heart. How do you do that? Well, you first ask him. And that's the reason why I love chapter 15. I mean, that whole chapter is amazing. Because it talks about he is the vine and he is the vine dresser. And he wants you to be right. He wants you to bear fruit that will remain. How do I bear fruit that will remain? Well, you got to be right and you got to be in right standing. If you look, that's why I love plants. I had another girlfriend that blessed me to understand the beauty of having plants. And I have a bunch of them. But nevertheless, I love watching how they grow, how they need certain things to be nourished. We're the same way. And I love visuals, and that, to me, that is the best visual God gave me, especially since I'm in love with chapter 15. He is the vine. These roots and these plants that I'm looking at can't grow if it's not rooted and has a proper soil. So we have to be rooted in the things of God. And so it has to be watered. It has to have the right amount of sun. Amen. Sun, Jesus, the sun. Amen. Amen. You have to be in right standing. And so when you're in the right thing, you will grow. And when you grow, you will mature. And when you mature, then you'll be able to do the things that he called you to do because you have a sound mind and you're operating with the fruit of the Spirit because the fruit, you see how this connects, amen. Whew, I get excited. But nevertheless, back to the specs and the beams. So in order for us to understand who we are and why it's important for us to walk the way that God called us to walk so that we can grow and mature, we can't be fault-finding. We can't be judgmental because there are areas in our life that we are still developing. None of us have made it. None of us. None of us have made it. And all the things that I've gone through within the past 3 years, praise God, if I had learned that, I still have work to do. And I am grateful for the work that I have accomplished. And so it's interesting to me when people challenge me with the word. I love the word of God by far. I believe I love that more than I do anything. Amen. Why? Because it gives me everything I need to sustain me. And I'm grateful, again, for the mentors of the people that have been in my life that have encouraged me and made me look to the book than to their voices, their criticisms, their judgments, their ideas, their motives, whatever. If it comes to God, the ultimate truth, amen, I'm good. And then he uses them to confirm the word, amen. If he uses the word to use them to keep me, praise God, on the path, by all means, my ears are open. But sometimes, all of us, including me, if we speak prematurely, my uncle said to me last week, Leah, you got to make sure that you're in the will of God. You can't be leaning to your own understanding. You got to be led by him. That is so important. That's one of my favorite scriptures, too. And all I was acknowledge him, and he would direct your path. And then be careful not to lean to your own understanding, but trust in him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Those scriptures, amen, can't nobody tell me no different because I know them. I know that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made and made in his image, and that he's given me power and authority to trample on who. And you think I'm scared about cancer or heart attacks or strokes? Mm-mm. I am going to do my assignment because I know that's what God called me to do. Because why? John 15, and I remained in him, and I remained in his word, and I asked him what I wanted, and he told me, I called you to be a teacher, so teach. So I know that. I am confident in that. I am confident that he has blessings, and if I ain't careful, some of them curses, those generational curses that are lined up because the enemy wants to sift me as wheat. Amen. These kind of lessons, amen, I get kind of caught up a little bit because I understand the word, and I put the scriptures together, and they help you. You got to read, and you got to study. You can't just be talking off the top of your head because you're talking to people that have a little bit of specs in their eyes, but you got beams in you because you're not even willing to study the word for yourself. So when you're talking to me, and you're judging me, and you're belittling me, I know the difference. Just as other people have discernment, when you're ministering or call yourself ministering to other saints, we have to be right. And so that's why it's so important. My girlfriend told me yesterday, she said, speak less and create your boundaries. She don't even know. She was just talking. But amen, that was a word from on high because we talk too much. We all talk too much. We want to solve other people's problems and can't do anything with our own because who are we going to for our problems? Not God. Not God. We have to go to God. And then one of the things that I love, and that's why I'm not moved when people say things bad and how people feel like you got to say something back. No, you don't have to. You just say, okay, amen. But you already know what God told you to do. And that's why I love it says in his covenant is a covenant of love. And when someone does not deserve it, the word says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of the Father of heaven. For he makes the sun rise and set on the just and the unjust. And it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. God is not a respecter of persons. He loves everybody. And so if God loves everybody, I have to love everybody. One of my mentors, Lord have mercy, when she said this to me, I thought, whoo, Lord, you got some work to do with her. She said, if they want to go to hell, amen, they ain't my responsibility to change their mind. And I thought, oh, how could you be a mentor of the word and you say something like that? And then, praise God, I lived a little and I grew a little and I read the Bible. And Jesus could have saved everybody. It's a choice we have to make. He provides the tools for us. He provides the resources that we need. But it's our responsibility to do them, to read them, to pray, to study, to show ourselves approved, to act responsibly and to do the things that he's called us to do. How do you know if you're not talking to him? You can't. So what does that mean if you're not? Then you're operating in your own flesh. One of the things that I think really kind of motivated me and burned me up was a couple weeks ago when I got a hold of 2 Peter chapter 3. And I love how it starts out. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. That's where we are now. There will be people that will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasures and lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with us people. Whew. That was 1 through 5. He just talked about all the people that most of the people, I would almost say all of us, can pull one of them words out that we operate in. Maybe not intentionally, but we need to fix that, saints. We don't want to be part of that group that God is saying to have nothing to do with. Amen. And so when people are coming at you, amen, you know what they are because the Bible told you, you're not judging. You're assessing the situation because God has already laid it out for you. So if they're operating one of them things, amen, you wait and ask for God to send somebody that you need in wisdom and instruction from that's operating in patience and love and has a clean heart. Amen. So we know these people exist. And that's why these people have no problem calling out your specs when they got beams in their eyes because they're self-righteous, they're slanderous, they're boastful, they're proud, they're not operating in self-control. They're doing whatever it is that makes them feel good at the moment. And whether it be good intentioned, it's not of God. So, amen, that doesn't mean anything to me. Amen. So we have to get to all the people. Who are the people we're supposed to be listening to? We're supposed to be listening to people that are operating in the things of God. They are unequivocally, completely loyal to the things of God. They love him above all else. This kind of love comes from what? A clean heart, one that has been transformed by the love of God and the Holy Spirit. Amen. For this kind of love will overflow into every area of their lives. So when I was accused of being something that I wasn't, amen, did I need to argue? Absolutely not. There's no reason. Because I know that on a daily basis, now, here lately, because for some of y'all that know that I tell people I used to be a pastor, but now I'm a pimp. Amen. And for clarification, I started out with that word, what it meant. Amen. Not because I wanted to be a pimp with, you know, my three-piece suit and my stack heels and my brim, none of that. But I wanted to set boundaries, and I didn't know how to do that because I was so caught up trying to be the perfect Christian. And so I became a Christian mat. And so people walked all over me and they said whatever they wanted to say to me because I thought, oh, I have to turn the other cheek. But no, God didn't say that. He said that I am the head and not the tail. And that you need to practice just like you do with anything else. If you want to know the word, you got to memorize it. You got to practice. It's just not going to come because I want to know scripture. No, you have to write it down. You have to see it. You have to say it. You have to write it and then see it again and say it again and then apply it. Amen. And so I had to learn how to do that. And so I use that persona, if you will. And then praise God, when God reeled me back in, it's like, dude, you're not a pimp. And I'm like, Lord, I could be one. And so it was, take the pimp and make it right. Of course, my daughter, you know, kind of made me do that a little faster than what I wanted to. But PIMP stands for, it's an acronym, preaching in my purpose. So I preach in my purpose now. So now my preaching is taking a whole nother dimension. Why? Not because I want to be self-righteous or I want to sound like a minister or I wanted people to believe I was a minister. Don't care about that no more. I'm doing what God called me to do, period. Period. So I have to preach in my purpose, preach in my power, preach in my pajamas, preach in my passion. Whatever I'm doing it now because God called me. Now, in my pimpness, the other pimpness, I kind of picked up a language that's probably not appropriate, but nevertheless, I'm working on it. But it has given me what I needed. And it's so funny how sometimes we get caught up. God wouldn't do that. We don't know what God will do because he can do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. And he will allow some things just for the growth of the individual. So for you to say that God didn't do that for me or for us to say God didn't do that for that particular, we don't know. We don't know. We're calling out beings I mean, specks, when we got beams in our own eyes, because God is doing something in you that other people would probably not think that that was probably gotten. But if that's helping you get to where the next step of where you need to be, amen. 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 I remember a story that the man said that God called him a minister, and he was like, Lord, I ain't minister unless there's at least 50 or 60 people. And so he went to minister, and there was nobody there. And he said, Lord, I'm done for the day, because ain't nobody here. And he kept feeling this pull to minister. And he's like, Lord, there ain't nobody here. And that's crazy to minister to chairs, because ain't nobody here. And he told the minister anyway. And he said he sat down, and then he got up, and then he sat down. And he's like, Lord, take a break. It makes sense. There's nobody here. And he said that pull was just there. So he got up, and he said, the whole thing, Lord. He said the whole thing. He said the whole sermon. He said the whole sermon. So he preached the whole sermon. And he got down, he said, Lord, really, you want me to open the doors to the church? You really want me to open the doors and see if anybody wants to give their life to Christ? Ain't nobody here. And he said, do it. So he was obedient, and he did it. How about a man climbed down from the tree, gave his life to Christ? Not only did that guy give his life to Christ, but he brought the whole village back. And so all the seats that he had were filled the next week, and he had to get more chairs. Because he was obedient in one act, like I said, we don't know what God is doing in anybody's life. Because I could have walked by, why are you preaching to those there? He's something wrong with him. He's crazy. Now here I am, calling out a speck in his eye when I got a beam in mine, because God told me to finish my book a long time ago. I ain't finished it. But here I could easily say, why is that man? He's crazy. He's speaking to empty chairs. But we do that all the time, saints. We call people out when we hadn't done what God called us to do. Or we're not at the place where we're supposed to be, but we can easily say, they ain't living right. They going to hell because we don't know the full story of anybody. We have to stop. And if anything God lays on our heart to say to somebody, make sure that it is God, it's not you. And it's not with your feelings and your emotion and your experiences and your presupposition, because this is how I was raised. This is how it's supposed to be. No, it doesn't work that way, saints. There are billions of people that God created. It has been so interesting to me allowing my children to play volleyball. And so we go to different places and we go to different areas where people from all over the world come and play. And I'm a people watcher. And I get amazed every time at all the people, how they look different, how some look the same, how some look different, how people have, I mean, most of the time, and I don't know, this is a fetish of mine, but I watch. And it is amazing to me how thousands and thousands of people can be in a room and how very, 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 very few people have the same shoes on unless it's intentional. That is amazing to me. So somebody has designed all these shoes, but there are thousands of different shoes. Watch. When you go to the airport or you go to some public, go to the mall, look at people's feet. It is amazing that most people have on different shoes. They don't have on the same shoes. Very rarely do you see people with the same exact shoes. It is amazing. But nevertheless, God created all these people. And because he created all these people, everybody has experiences and everybody has their ways of how they were, they do certain things and how they think and how they formulate and how they come to certain conclusions and decisions. And you have your one little idea and you think that everybody should operate the way you think. Saints, we got to do better. We got to do better. I like that we can go to God, each of us individually, and say, Psalms 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Lord, I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be like the person you created. You created me. I am individually made. Individually made. Nobody on the planet is exactly like me. As much as my children look like me and act like me, they are not me. And so for me to think that they would be me is insane. And so I give them the latitude because I know they're formulating who they are and who God created them. So can I beat one because I beat the other one? No. Can I slap one because I slapped the other one? No. Now, they need to be right. Amen. But nevertheless, I mean, saints, come on. Why do we do that? We put people in these cookie-cutter boxes and we want them to be what we want them to be. And that is so far from what God intended. We're in the box that he made for us. And that's it. And so I love, 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 love that we're different. I love that. And that's why I listen to people and why I love hearing how people come to different scenarios or different things in their life, because God had to show them how to navigate. I love watching kids tie their shoes because not many people tie their shoes the same way. It is amazing to me how many ways you can tie up a shoe. Now, when we were growing up, you put the shoes loops you put the laces through the loops, you tie it up, and you keep it moving. But my daughter, bless her heart, she has a whole website with all these different laces, different ways that you can lace them up. I mean, it is amazing how creative God has allowed our minds to go further. And so I stumped that because I grew up only one way to tie up my shoe. Come on, thanks. We got to do better than that. We got to allow people to be who God has created them to be. We have to make sure that we are my sister said, slow down. Am I talking fast? I didn't think I would. But I'm excited. So when I get excited, I do talk a little faster because I love God's revelation. I do. I do. I love how it all connects. If you study to show yourself approved, God will rightly divide that word for you. And the mysteries won't be mysteries anymore. Amen. So I know she always wants me to repeat the scriptures I've read. And so I've gone through 2 Timothy chapter 3. Read that. That's a good scripture. Matthew 7:1-9. I'm gonna do that before we leave because I know we're running out of time. And then, of course, the clean heart. You want to make sure that you read Psalms 51:10. And then, let me go through this real quick. Matthew 7. And then, I love to talk and I can keep talking, but I'm running out of time. And so never I talk. But I am running out of time. So let's go ahead and read this scripture here then in Matthew 7. And then, for some Bibles, amen, some of us don't even read the Bible no more, but nevertheless, we do everything online. But sometimes it's good to pick up the Bible so you can see things that are in red. You know, they don't do red stuff. We know when Jesus is talking, but nevertheless. Chapter 7 and verse, the book of Matthew. Now I understand what she's talking about. Slow down, Leah. The book of Matthew, the chapter 7, we're going to start with the first verse. It says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own? You hypocrite, you take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly enough to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred, and do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. And I'm going to read this and then we'll talk about that. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. And one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Thank you. There's so much in these couple of scriptures and I just don't have enough time, but I'm going to try to do my best. Judging. It is one thing to see the fruit of people. You can see the fruit because, the Bible even talks about another set of scriptures that we can examine the fruit. So now if you are an orange tree and you got apples on your tree, amen. That's not judgment. That's amen. I see you for what you are. But nevertheless, judging means what it says. It goes back to the speck and you got the beam in your eye. How can you accuse me of being a cheater and you're a cheater? How do you do that? You can't do that. I mean, you can. But that goes back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 about being prideful and boastful. If I want to encourage you to stop cheating on your wife or your husband, then I got to stop cheating on mine, right? Amen. Because you know I'm cheating. So how do you listen? How my aunt says, you are an ineffective witness. That's exactly what you are. How is it that we can be friends with people, cuss, drink, and cut up, and then want to invite them to church? I mean, amen, they might come. But, I mean, really? So we have to be mindful when we're calling people out to say that they're one thing and we're doing the same thing. It's kind of hard to hear from those kind of people. And if you want to be heard, you want somebody to listen, that's why we have expectations on our ministers and our preachers. Now, we have faults too. I'm not saying that we don't. But there is an expectation. There's an expectation. I can't be doing all kind of wild and out and then expect people to want to listen to me. I know my sister probably get mad, but nevertheless, she said that I would do something. I could watch somebody on fire and not put them out. That hurt me. That hurt me really bad. Why? Not because of that she said it, but because she thought that I could have the capabilities of doing that. I could never, ever watch somebody on fire and not be willing to put them out. No matter how much disappointment I have, I can never do that, ever, because that means I have no love, and I have way too much love for God in me to go to hell for anybody. I mean, I don't even know nobody I don't like that much that I could let them be on fire and not put them out. I couldn't do that. That's not my spirit. That's not in me to do that. One, I have too much love. I have the love of God in me to do that. I love people too much to do that. But nevertheless, we have to be mindful, because sometimes we say things and we're just talking, but they have meaning. And some people take their stuff to heart. And it's like, well, if that's how you see me, and then for me, I'm examining myself now, because it's like, where did you get that from? So what have I done? What have I said to make you believe that that could even be part of me? Or when somebody said that I was an angry person, I don't even know how to do that. I've been such a mess for most of my adult child life too, for that matter. I don't know how to cuss folks out. I'm learning. I don't know, amen. But I mean, seriously, that's not me. That's not my character. You know, it bothers me when I hurt people. I hate giving somebody a birthday gift when I know somebody lives with them and they may be offended because, or not even offended, but just hurt because I didn't bring them nothing. I mean, for Christmas, when I take stuff home to my babies, I took them to everybody. I couldn't do that. And it's like, really, you're not teaching them that, you know, it's their birthday. And I'm like, I know, but I, even now, my child is 26 years old and my husband's 15. I can't buy one and not buy the other one something. And even if I, you know, do it, don't tell your sister I gave you this, but I couldn't give her a gift and not give you one. Even for my daughter's graduation, we were doing all the celebrating for her because it was that she graduated. But, hey, man, my baby's going to get a party, too, because she graduated, too. She's going to high school, amen. So she's going to get a party, too. I mean, that's just something. So, again, when you see God for yourself and you know who you are for yourself, when people try to pull the specs out of your eyes, you already know they're there, because I talk to God on a regular basis. And I ask him often, Lord, show me where I'm not clean. I always want to come before you with clean hands and pure heart. I don't want to come before you ugly and no, I don't want to ever do that. If we don't do that to our jobs, our bosses, we don't come to them any kind of way. When the bosses on the job summons us to their office, you better believe you prepared. You got pencil and paper because you want to know the boss calls you in. You want to be hoping you ain't getting fired, but nevertheless, you're making sure that you're going to do whatever it is they ask you to do. It's the same thing with God. Why would we treat God any less? We have to. When we go before God in our prayer time, you have to have paper and pen. Lord, show me what you want me to work on, and help me to be obedient to do that. A couple of weeks ago, I had to go in for my cancer treatment testings and for yearly testing, and the doctor told me, well, everything went well, but I saw something in the back of his throat, so he had to biopsy it. Now, before I went into the machine, my prayer was, Lord, if there is something, let them find it, because I want to know what it is. But whatever it is, let me be able to have the endurance and the patience and the understanding and the wisdom to walk through it, because I know it's not going to be unto death, because you already told me. But give me the strength and the peace and the patience I need to get through it. And so when he told me he found that on my throat, amen. I'm like, okay, Lord, it's me and you. Well, have they called me yet? Absolutely not. Have I tried to call them? Yes. But have they returned my call? No. So, amen. As far as I'm concerned, no news is good news. But nevertheless, if they call me 3 weeks from now, I know it's in God's hands, because I ain't tripping. I've already prayed about it. It's over. I'm not caught up with that, because I believe what the word says. I stand on the things of God, and I'm going to make sure that I do what I need to do. I know that I need to get it together, because when I get it together, amen, when God puts me before other people, they're not going to see beans. They may see a couple of specks, but it won't be enough that it won't be, they won't listen and follow it, because they know that I am trying my best to do what God calls me to do. And I have way too many experiences of how he showed himself to be real in my life that, amen, I'm doing something right. Amen. And so you telling me something that I know is not true about me, amen, I'm not sweating it. Amen. I'm praying for you that God reveals to you to say the right things because, saints, we got to do right. We don't want to be of the people by Marxist. We don't want to be those people in 2 Timothy 3. We just don't want to be them people. We are in the last days, but we're supposed to be separate, and we're supposed to walk circumspectly with clean hands and a pure heart. Amen. Amen. No hypocrites on the line. Amen. May God bless all of you and keep you. I'm never out of talk, but I am out of time. And so I pray you tune in again next week. We'll have another inspiring word. I pray that you will always, always tune in and know that you will be encouraged, that you'll be educated. It may not be a brand new topic, but it's definitely one that we can explore and ask God to give us wisdom and insight so that we can be empowered to make the changes and then not stop there, but be empowered to share it with someone else. I pray that you have a blessed, wonderful week. And until next week, remember to always, always, always start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and end your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Be blessed.